Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the June 9th, 2016 Code Enforcement Board hearing. May we have a roll call, please? Madam Secretary, hi.
Mr. Leatherholt?
Here.
Ms. House?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Present.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones told him that he would not be able to make it today. Ms.
Summit? Here.
And Mr. Sino?
Here.
All right. Maybe we have a motion to excuse Mr. Jones. Okay. Motion from Mr. Smart, second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. All right. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? Okay. Any additions or corrections? Motion to approve the minutes is written.
So moved. Second.
Motion from Mr. Smart, second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. All right, that's minutes approved. Would anyone like to disclose any ex parte communications? Do we need to do that? All right, let's move on. Do we have announcements, Madam Secretary?
A few cases that are listed on the agenda that aren't reflected on the agenda that are in compliance.
Okay.
There is one that is, so if you'd like me to read.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Number two, CEB 12-14-131 for 925 North Halifax, the Bayshore condo, is in compliance.
Good, great. Great.
Number six, CEB 04-1618, 756 Madison, is also compliant June 7th. And page number 10, I'm sorry?
What number is that? Six.
Number 10, CEB 05-1628, 4804 Derby Fire Road, compliant May 23rd.
Okay, great. Terrific. We'd like to see those cases in compliance. All right. Do you have any other announcements? We're adding a lien review.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. We do have an addendum to the agenda that was sent out, or that was came in after your final packets were sent out, that I did email, which is a lien review.
Okay. All right. Has everybody had a chance to look over this? It was sent out by email. Okay, well, let's just start right. Well, first of all, let's go over the procedure. Would the code officers come forward and be sworn in, please? Can we help you?
That the testimony
about all right, here's our procedure. We'll be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they're listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, state your relationship to the owner, please. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak directly into the mic. We hear from the board officers first, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. And please direct all of your responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. All right. So are there any attorneys present? I don't see any. No. Okay. All right, so let's just hop right on to the lien review. This is CEB 11-07-260-535 Cannon Street, Eugene Thomas, care of Carlos Marchbanks, real estate broker. Please come forward.
Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Please. My name is Carlos Marchbanks. I'm a real estate broker representing it's Mr. Williams. They had Eugene Thomas. It was Eugene Williams, but that's okay. I do.
Okay, let us hear from our code officers first, and then we'll give you a chance to tell us why you'd like the lien reduced.
Yes, that was it. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. This matter, as you indicated before you, for a lien review, the staff has considered the request of the has considered the request, and the circumstances are unique circumstances in some ways for what we typically look at, in that it's a residence that's not it's in compliance for the matter that it was cited for, that's the subject of the lien, but the status of the property right now is not property that otherwise would be in compliance. However, it is the status of the property is such that the respondent is seeking to remedy what appears to be a property with some challenges that is in need of remedy. It's, I think, I don't know if I'm understanding the circumstance right now. I'll let them explain it more. But the ultimate circumstance is that at this point they're at a point of a closing that would include paying a portion that would be satisfactory to the staff. That portion is $500 on the lien, and the staff is satisfied with that as a remedy based upon the value of the property that's at least being shown at this time. I'm sure that you can get a clearer, it's something that was added late, so I'm sure you can get a clearer explanation from the requester. So from that point forward, turn the request over to you so they can give some more clarification of what they're asking for. But the position of staff is that we found that their request was acceptable, and the $500 a reduction to $500 would be acceptable.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning again.
Good morning, Mr. Marchbanks, right?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. What it is, the property is scheduled to go into foreclosure within the next few months or so. I negotiate short sales in the area. Right now, the outstanding judgment is, I think, in excess of $59,000. They had the bank, the lender, short sale lender, had an appraisal done, and it was somewhere between $15,000. Property is in absolute deplorable condition. Need windows, I mean, doors, cabinets, roof, everything needs to be done to it. So right now it's kind of like it's a blight in the community, the area that it's in. The investor that's actually purchasing the property is going to bring it up to par and probably go through all of the steps to have it rented again. But the repair damage is somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000. They're purchasing it for $13,000, and the appraiser said even after it's, you know, fully repaired, it'll probably still be worth somewhere between $30,000 and $35,000. So that's why we asked it for a reduction in this lien.
Okay.
Exactly what is your standing with this?
Actually, I'm the broker representing the buyer on this transaction.
So you don't own the property?
No, I don't own it right now.
He doesn't own it?
No, Mr. Williams owns the property. He's the, but we're actually, the short sale has been approved by the lender, so we're just waiting on to get this approved so we can close on
it. So there is a short sale?
Yes, ma'am. It's a short sale. It's already been approved.
There is a buyer?
Yeah, it's already been approved.
And they've signed papers?
Everything has been done.
Offer and that kind of thing? Okay.
Title company, title work has been done, and that's how we discovered this part. And the lender said on most of these deals, they offer up to 10% of the purchase price toward any outstanding liens. This was the only outstanding lien on the property. So,
will this be paid at closing?
Yes, sir. It'll be paid by the title company.
And you're saying the new buyer has agreed to bring this up to code?
Yes, sir. Bring the property up to code.
But we don't have the name of the new buyer.
Yeah, the name was on the settlement statement. It's Ms. Shenhan Brown. Everything is there. And she's actually a partner of mine. We purchased most properties. We purchased them together.
Oh, okay.
On this particular property, we didn't buy it in the form of the LLC because we had other projects going on. So I'm affiliated with the transaction.
Okay. I have one more question. So what was on the reason this had a lien review, and it came into compliance, it was... Whatever was out of compliance is now in compliance as far as this is concerned, this lien review is concerned.
Yes, ma'am. The subject of the lien is the,
right,
the subject,
subject of the lien okay.
are now in compliance.
However, the property is not, would not be considered in compliance if you went out there today.
Right, and but for this perspective of a unique partnership, this is something that we generally would not bring forward.
Right.
In this status.
And would you go out there again? And
I'm sorry.
Would you go out there again? And how much time would they need to bring it into compliance? Or
no,
we can't do that.
We can't
okay.
do that. No.
All right.
I mean, if they want, that's their decision. But
right.
we can't ask them. We can't direct them to do something.
Okay.
What I can assure you from staff is that with any circumstance, ultimately they'll follow up. They'll look at this property. If it's a property that's not making progress and it's in a status that needs to be addressed by the
okay, that's what
staff, they'll go out and
okay, that's kind
we're
of.
We're not telling you to do that.
No, I'm not telling you to do that. I was just asking if you could do that. Okay. Any other comments from the board? Questions, Mr. Weatherholtz?
On the sale, on the documents, would it still be signed as in uncompliance with code? Because see, if it's on the sale documents that the house is out of compliance. Right. Yeah, we can reduce the lien or whatever the board decides. So when the sale is complete, if it had that the house was still out of compliance, that might be something that.
But it's still, I was going to say it's still in compliance with what we're actually referring to. Nobody's
right.
reassessed it to see
right.
if it's out of compliance now.
There would be an order of compliance, and then there would be at the closing. It would be a satisfaction. The city gets their money, the city would issue a satisfaction, which would clear that issue up altogether.
That's it.
Okay, just as soon as the sale was complete then?
At closing. That's why I asked that question, at closing.
Yeah, and so what would be the status of the house? I mean,
at that point, the status house would be fine. There'd be no violations against that house at that point.
Except we've heard testimony that the house is not in compliance
right, and
at this point, and in fact is in deplorable condition, is what
yeah,
I think I heard.
It's not unique for, and again, just from dealing with staff over the years, it's not unique for staff to come upon property that's being remedied, repaired, rehabilitated, and this is what the status has been represented. Of course, if staff should come upon the property and it's in the same status,
right.
then it would be a new citation against new owners.
Right.
And it would be given a time that's necessary
right.
under the code.
Okay.
And then ultimately brought before the board if that's necessary.
But
the goal would be to try and, again, watch properties improve and remedy the problems that they have.
Okay, but Mr. Marchbanks, you are testifying that your intention or the buyer's intention is to remedy the problems
yes,
after
ma'am.
They buy
there's,
it.
There's no way we would put tenants in the property in its current condition.
Okay.
That's what we do. We fix them and then
okay.
renovate.
Okay. Mr. Garcia, do you want to add anything?
Madam Chair, members of the board, I think what Mr. Weatherholtz and Madam Chair, your concern is the status of the property right now. It's going to be in a sale. It's going to change in ownership. Once the new ownership has been documented, then we go about our normal process.
Okay.
They'll be notified. I think that's clarifying it for Mr. Weatherholtz.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get a notice of violation. They will be put on notice. They will be given the time to come into compliance, so forth and so on. The other thing is that if in good faith they go ahead and start applying for permits and so forth and so on, then it eliminates us from having to do anything.
Correct.
And my understanding is that's what they're planning to do.
Yes.
So, again, our position is that we stand by the reduction of the lien and the amount that's been offered in order to give the new buyer the opportunity to come into compliance voluntarily.
Okay.
And that's what I was
saying. Yeah, that's perfect explanation. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
I think some of us are new on the board, and this probably your first lien review. But if you guys have any questions or any confusion, please let us know.
Right. Well, this is kind of an unusual circumstance, too. All right. So, the chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $500, subject to be paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount.
Could we make it payable or upon closing?
Upon closing.
All right. We'll amend that to say upon closing. Is there such a motion?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Motion from Mrs. Heim. Second from Mr. Smart.
Question. Somehow or another, it doesn't close, and we'll be back.
Oh, here we go.
The lien
would revert. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, are we ready to vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to. We have a progress report. Case number one. CEB. 11-15-65 Chamisa Holdings and Hotel Del Mar. Respondent present. All right, Mr. Newell, what can you tell us? This is supposed to be a progress report, and compliance is supposed to be in July.
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair, members of the board, I have visited the property and spoken with the contractor. We are pleased with the progress of this. They have the trusses there. They've actually went vertical with the beams. So now basically what's left is installing the actual trusses and finishing off the front of the building. So after that is installed, shingles, whatever they're putting up there, you know, a little paint, TLC at that point, and we will be able to close out this case after speaking to the contractor. He believes within that 30 days he should be able to be complete prior to our next meeting.
Okay. Any questions from the board? No? So we don't need a motion or anything. We have a compliance date set for next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. All right, case number two is in compliance. Case number three, CEB 11-15-58, Daytona Beach Condo Club Association. And this is a progress report as well. Is respondents present? Respondents present. Please come forward and you can all be sworn in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
William Turcott.
Steve Merchant, President of the Board. Stephen Folks, Vice President.
Yes.
Please raise your right hand. Or
from
the testimony about
to
provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
That'll be good.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We're here for a progress report. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, the inspector informs me that he really hasn't had an update, so we're looking to hear the progress as described as well.
All right.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Bill. I'm the general contractor that has the permit on the building.
Uh-huh.
I brought you some photographs. We've installed the emergency shoring in the lower garage area. There was one column in question. There was a major support of the building.
Right.
I brought you some photographs for your file. The shoring is in place. I also brought a copy of the engineer's drawing for you to review. I'm going to meet the engineer on site on Monday morning at 9 o'clock to go into the next phase, which is going to be repair of that column. I've spoken to the building department. They've extended our permit. So the intention at this point is to repair the column in question, which will begin next week. While I have a crew on site, we're going to survey the exterior of the structure to make sure that there's no other areas or no other concrete that's in danger of falling. If there is, we're either going to remove it or we'll encapsulate it in a way that will keep the public safe. And once this is done, the intention for them is to secure funding by the end of the year.
Right.
And we'll start a full phase restoration in January.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want me to leave those with you? Okay.
Is this satisfactory, this progress satisfactory to code enforcement?
Yes, Madam Chair, the progress is satisfactory. You may recall this was kind of the circumstance where we had the contractor in and different contractors. So just for this contractor's knowledge, it's important that he also keep up with, keep the code inspector in the loop. I know you're making the contact with
right.
the permits, but also make sure you're contacting the code inspector so they know what's going on.
Okay, does the board have any questions?
Right now we're scheduled for monthly
through 26 through the end of the year, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't need to make a motion to do anything on this if we're satisfied with the progress report. And okay, questions? No?
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much and see you next month. Thank you. All right, case number 4, CEB 11-15-59, Roy Doveberg. Please come forward and be sworn in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Raise your hand, please.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm
that the
testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you state your name for the record?
Roy Doveberg.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, we'll hear from Code, and then we'll hear from you. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, staff informs me that Mr. Doveberg is making the necessary progress after having, you may recall, they had the mediation and then they determined the status. At this point, he's applied for permits, and so the staff is asking to amend it to the next cutoff.
Okay.
I did the necessary appropriate measures, notice of commencement, and the wrecking company has pulled the permit. And
great.
So I'm waiting in a line right now. They're very busy.
Has the permit been approved yet?
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file, but this 836 North Orleans has been applied for,
mm-hmm.
and the permit department was delayed a little bit, but it has not been approved yet. But what we're looking for is like maybe a progress report next month of what he plans on completely demolishing the building or remodeling certain sections. I think you were talking about, Mr. Doveberg.
Excuse me?
Are we going to remodel certain sections of it, or...?
I think it might be torn down.
Okay. As long as it's completed, you know, by next cutoff, the demolition. But they I talked to permit people today. They said they will approve it, but they were delayed for a couple of days.
Okay. So...
Halifax Wrecking Company applied for the permit. So.
Okay. So the permit has been applied for and will go through within the next couple of days.
Yes, ma'am.
And then they will commence work?
Yes, ma'am. So he's got I believe he told me he's got a contract signed already with him, and I talked to the wrecking company yesterday.
Okay. Any questions from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until July 6th.
The
next cutoff date to come into to compliance will be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
All right. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Like sign opposed. Good. Thank you. Okay. Now we're on to case number 5, CEB 04-16-21, Blanca Properties. Is anyone here? please come forward? Good morning, and be sworn in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Miguel Montes de Oca.
Can you spell your last name for me?
Montesdeoca.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm?
I can't
the
say that.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, we'll hear from staff, and then we will let you speak. Okay. Just over carport. Okay, here we go.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Staff reports that at this time we've been informed and confirmed that the respondent has applied for a variance. He'll be going before the variance board in the end of July. And so we're asking that we have a progress report for the August meeting with the anticipation that we'd be looking for a compliance date for September.
The variance is to get a permit to add a new roof, or are they exceeding the footprint of the property?
Okay, I'd ask for the inspector to address that. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald.
Good morning. Mike Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city. He built the roof over here in the carport that went to the property line.
Uh-huh.
And the 6-foot fence. So he even needs to push the fence back and go down to 4 feet because that's the front porch where he's coming off of and not the actual building. So he's asking for a variance to keep the roof.
And then he'll need a permit.
Right, the permit's on hold until all that gets done.
Until he gets a variance.
If he gets a variance.
If he gets a variance.
What's the offset requirements for the variance?
The offset requirement on this was, by his documents, was 6.5 feet.
No, 7.5.
I thought it was 8.88 feet. From where
close.
I was, yeah.
I mean, that's what shows on the survey.
On the survey, yes.
But what are the requirements for the city for the offset?
What's the setback?
What's the setback?
My understanding is the setback is, can you go back once? Yeah. It's 8.6 feet is the setback it's supposed to be.
How far is he encroached the setback?
He's encroached the setback. He's gone over 8.6
okay.
feet. And the setback from the front of the property is 25 feet.
So what this is pending on, you're waiting to go before the variance committee?
Yes, ma'am.
The Board of Adjustments, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you would apply if it's approved. But you're looking at how long?
He'll be in July, at the end of July. And then when they give their approval or disapproval, and at that point we'll know where we're at.
So we're looking at August.
Yeah, we're looking at August at least. Because that's his
So time. What is it he actually needs to do? Move the fence?
The fence, if he wants to keep it at 6 foot high, he'd have to go back to the edge of the house, not the front porch. If he wants to leave it where it's at, it has to be at 4 feet. The roof must be brought back to 8 feet off the setback and cut in half or like this. See the yellow line there?
Yes.
That's the setback.
Okay.
Which he'll have to cut about 8 feet off, or 9 feet off of the roof.
He was notified this in last November, and we're now hearing about it. Now, what happened between
them?
When I started this plan, I called to a builder, and he got a drawing from an architect. And that's what the architect told me, you know, since you already have the slab on the driveway, which is my driveway, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to even get
a variance, anything.
The variance or a survey. I'm sorry, survey.
Yeah.
That's what he says. You don't need to get a survey because it's already been there the way it is. All you're doing is putting a roof on the top of your driveway. I said, okay. So I get it done. And then when we were finishing, you know, the city came up that we are in violation because we didn't apply for a permit. So I've been trying to sell this situation because this is a rental property, and I'm losing money all this time. I just asked the inspector if I can rent it. He just told me that, yes, but I didn't know that because the house has been empty for the last 6 months or so.
After you get the
RCL. Right. And so, yeah, I got this one right here. So I do have a license for renting and everything else, but I really wanted to solve this situation anyway. That has to be done. If even I asked him, you know, if I have to take it down, I take it down and just forget it. But I just paid $900 for the variance because the builder says, apply for the variance. You're going to get the variance because it's the structure has been there. What I read when I apply for the variance is reasons why you apply for the variance. Okay. And one of the reasons...
We don't want you to go into the reasons you apply for the variance. That's not the jurisdiction of this board. You need to, but I'm saying you need to break that. You'll make it for the variance. All we do is we basically give you some time to get your variance.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason for your variance really isn't an issue here.
Okay.
I don't want you to get yourself into trouble.
Comments from the board? Any others? Right.
Well, if he's applied for the variance, you know, to allow the board to rule on that, I think would be prudent. Whichever way they rule, then that'll be subject to our next meeting.
Right.
Okay. What is code's recommendation?
Madam Chair, just so you and the board, as well as the respondent, knows, the intent of the staff prior to the knowledge of the variance was to come and ask for a fine to be imposed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has been a very long time.
It has.
And there was the thought that it may have been a little too little too late. However, the posture of the board has always been, as well as what I would feel would be the appropriate process for administrative consideration, is that as he seek additional administrative remedies, since he's actually taken actual steps and filed for the variance, that time be allowed for the variance to be ruled upon. So our position is that he be allowed to continue in good faith for his the variance process and get a determination of what has to be done next, and then we anticipate that it will take him within 30 days to come into compliance after he gets that determination. So that's the position of staff.
Any other questions?
On the and just for clarification, you know, he needs time to send out his letters to all of his, you know, surrounding area. But if he doesn't get his variance, would the fine be carried on to that time?
Usually not. Usually the fine would start. Usually the fine would start. If he doesn't get his variance the next meeting and he doesn't want to do anything, we can impose a fine at that point. No, it doesn't go retroactive.
Okay.
Now, if it was a repeat violation, it would. I will find it would.
Mr. Harrington, any comments? All right. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until 8-3, is that right? The August cutoff date?
Yes.
To come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved, and further orders a monthly progress report?
No, this is really a little different than that, Madam Chair.
Okay.
He would not have an answer that he could bring before us until August. Right. So our thought is, I mean, if you write it that way, that's fine.
Yeah, leave it at that. Don't even worry about the progress
report. All right, so he's coming back in August, right, basically, is it? Okay. All right. So
I think what Mr. Seale is saying is imposition of fine.
Right.
And we'll make a decision on that status when he returns here in August.
All right. So we'll I'll amend the motion to leave off the progress report, and then the rest of the motion stands, which to come into compliance by August 3rd or be returned to the board for imposition of a fine.
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I like sign opposed. Motion carries.
Good luck, sir.
Okay. You have till the August cutoff date, which is August 3rd.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, let's move on to case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7, CEB 05-16-25, Jasmine Johnson. All right. Well, I guess that person is not here. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The last report I received from staff is that they had no contact with or responded other than having to post the property. The property remains in noncompliance. The request is for $150 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000. The inspector on the property is Mike Fitzgerald, and I will tender Mr. Fitzgerald if you have any other facts and questions about the case.
Okay. Anything you want to add, Mr. Fitzgerald?
No.
Okay.
Make sure, again, they'll be here on that case.
Is anyone here for case number 7, CEB 05-16-25, Jasmine Johnson?
Okay, good.
No. Okay.
Good.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $150 per day against the respondent effective today, 6/9/16, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
All right. Motion from Mr. Smart, second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Case number 8, CEB 05-16-26, Ernesto Hernandez. Is Ernesto Hernandez here? All right. We'll hear from Code.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The property remains in noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. I'll tender Mr. Stinson for to give you an update about the status of this property.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. My qualifications are on file. This started as a citizen's complaint of peeling paint. We're having some issues over there with the with the photographs. However, it was peeling paint, dilapidated roof, and dilapidated shed. My last inspection on the property was yesterday morning, and the conditions still remain the same. I did make contact with the owner. There was a bit of a language barrier, but he did understand what I was saying, and he gave me the impression that he was going to be here today, but there hasn't been any activity on the property.
Okay.
So we are asking for $150 a day to be capped at $10,000.
Any questions or comments from the board?
Is the property, is it occupied?
It is.
Yeah.
Owner?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yes. If it's occupied, it must be not a safety issue or anything for the occupants.
No, sir. It's just unsightly.
You said site. Okay.
It's owner-occupied.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Any other comments or questions? Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $150 per day against the respondent effective 6/9/16 and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion for Mrs. Hines, a second for Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. We'll move on to case number 9, CEB0516-27, Daytona Ocean Rentals. Respondent present. Anyone representing the property present? Please come forward and be sworn in.
But I am a concerned neighbor.
Okay, well, come sit down, be sworn in, and then we'll let you talk after we hear from folks.
Denise Dabato.
Can you raise your right hand?
Do you
solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector in the case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that there's been little effort to correct the violation. This was complaint-driven. Although there's a new property manager on site, there, or at least the last that he knew there was a new property manager, there still has not been any progress being made. He hasn't had any contact since the last proceeding. And so the staff is requesting a $400 day fine for a maximum of $20,000.
How much a day?
$400 per day.
Mm-hmm.
So a maximum of $20,000.
Okay. Would you like to come forward and...
I'm testifying.
That's fine.
I'm really happy with that.
That's fine.
So if I could just clarify one thing, I think the inspector just asked that the max should be 15,000.
15,000. Yeah. Okay. Because I didn't know how many units were in it. But okay. 15. How many units are there?
Yeah.
There's five.
How many?
Five.
Five. Yeah. And that's how you count it as two separate structures? All right, Mr. Stinson, I'm sorry.
Good morning. John Stinson again. Code inspector and qualifications are on file. This is a multi-unit property. The front structure is 613 and 616. The rear structure has three units. They're all in the same parcel. But right. My case is on the 615.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have you had any complaints from...
Well, here's a...
Excuse me?
Any complaints from any of the tenants? How did this come before
you? This came as a police complaint.
Is your microphone on, Mr.
Harrington?
Yeah,
okay. Just too far back.
All right, what would you like to tell us?
Okay, I just want to say that they're accurate in stating that there has
been...
Can
we get your name, address, please, for the record?
I'm sorry? Oh, Denise Dabato?
Yeah. No,
okay.
My address.
Okay, sorry. There has been no progress. This owner has made absolutely no attempt to try to do anything to improve. And there have been complaints from the tenants, although not to the city, to us, the neighbors. We had a young man, 18-year-old man, yesterday that spoke with my husband and complained about the bed bugs that they have. And he's addressed it with the owner, and the owner was just like, it's not my problem. So the poor kid called the health department. They said, no, you have to call Department of Agriculture. They said, no, you have to call the health department. So he didn't know what to do. And meantime, his arms are all bitten up with bites. So...
Who is the owner? Is it this Daytona Ocean Rentals?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's that company's owned by Eldon York.
Okay, any more? Thank you very much for coming. Any comments from the board?
Yes, I sort of put things in a hierarchy, and I take a look at safety as the first thing we should be worried about. About the smoke detectors. Are these still non-working?
If that's correct, all the violations still exist.
To me, that solves it right there.
Okay, do we send David Newell in there, and if there's a problem, doesn't he have the authority to close it down?
I would have to confer with Mr. Newell on that one.
Come on up. I didn't bring it with me, but I have a copy of one of the lease agreements for them, and that owner has it in the lease that it's the tenant's responsibility to maintain the smoke detectors, which I have rentals too, okay. And that's not my knowledge of it.
So. Right. Okay. Are we saying there's something? Oh, I'm sorry.
Shouldn't we mean if there's any safety issue, that should be addressed, by an inspector or authority, and that should be the city's first concern. I totally agree with that. And so what we would have to decide, I mean, we can decide on a fine, but what would be staff's responsibility of going in and inspecting it for safety violations?
I think we could do two things. We can go ahead and enter the file if we want to. I think that's fine.
Right.
I don't have a problem entering a motion and ask today. I request staff to take any and all action necessary to ensure the safety of the people there. And we're not directing them to do anything.
Right. We're just requesting.
We're just
requesting.
Just requesting.
We'll put that in the motion. Yes. Okay.
Specifically is the electrical hazard?
The electrical hazard comes from the unit of 615. The majority of the outlets are inoperable in that property, and they have extension cords strung throughout.
All right. Any other comments? Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $400 per day against the respondent, effective today, 6/9/16, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches maximum of $15,000, and further requests that staff inspect the property for all life safety issues. Okay. Within, do I give a time frame on that or no? Just ask them.
Just the time
okay.
You do it.
Just requesting a check for life safety issues. Okay.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion from Mrs. Himes and a second from Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, case number 10 is in compliance. So we will now move on to our new cases. And that would be case number 11, CEB 0616-31, Julio Victor Castillo. Respondent present, please come forward and be sworn in.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm in a good mood.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Can you say your name, please?
My name is Victor J. Castillo. A little type error.
Oh, Castillo.
My name is Victor. Yes.
Victor Castello.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Raise your right hand.
Yes.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony
about
your life is
the
truth?
Yes.
Nothing but
the
truth?
Yes.
Okay. You have some people
about. Oh, no, sit down. That's it. My family.
Okay.
And my uncle and my aunt. Yeah,
okay.
Just my uncle and my aunt. No. They're for support.
Okay.
They've been helping me a lot, you know.
Okay, good. All right, if you'll just have a seat, we'll let Mr. Stenson tell us what's going on. Or Mr. Jackson. Or both.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The this is a complaint-driven case. The outside storage and junk vehicles are still in noncompliance, according to the inspector. The inspector is requesting that the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Thank you. All right, Mr. Costello, you can come up and tell us what's going on.
Yes. I thought I. You see all that stuff there.
Uh huh.
My neighbors, the church next door, is doing construction work. I see me. I'm pointing to them. I'm saying there's scaffolds, and there's a lot of work being done. That's my vehicle right there. Okay. That's my vehicle. I own the vehicle. It's registered. It's insured. And I gave the city money for the little sticker.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody stole the sticker. Do you see the photos of the garbage pails?
Mm-hmm.
I picked up all the garbage. If you would have seen them before they got there, you would come over and say, I'm going to give you $1,000 right now. Fine. You see this? See? You see? I got rid of all the vehicles. Okay? I'm showing the person. I got rid of the van. I got rid of the house. I got rid of everything. You see that? That's, you know what I was doing? I was buying junky cars and trying to fix them to make a few dollars so I can eat. You know? I'm trying to survive because I'm an unemployed human being. Okay? And you see, that's my car. All that was all full of junk. If you would have seen it, I listened to him. I took everything all out of there. I complied, but it's not enough compliance. Okay? You see the house? You should have seen the whole front. It has so much garbage in the front because I'm a hoarder. You understand? Every time I see junk in the street, I grab it, I bring it home, and try to get $10 for it. You understand? But they helped me stop doing that. They helped me. They're helping me. Because they know I have issues. You know what I'm saying? I'm being honest.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
And you see that car right there?
Mm-hmm.
That's his car. Right. And it's registered. You see that? That's my car. Mm-hmm. You know? That's my car. And they're all registered and insured. Because I do make good money collecting garbage. You know? And that's my mansion.
So if you want to say something, you have to come up and state your name and address for the record and speak into the mic. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Vincent Mackley. I live in Edgewater Street, Daytona Beach. I'm here for my friend.
Can you raise your hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am. I helped him clean up. You've seen the pictures before. He had trailers and stuff. Now there's only a couple of garbage pails. If we can do anything else to apply, we will.
Thank you. Okay, so we're just here for, you can come back up again,
thank
for
you,
compliance or, just wait, non-compliance. If we find you in non-compliance, you need to get with your inspector and ask him.
He's very good.
Yes, he is very good.
Very good.
And ask him what you need to do to come into compliance
yes.
by the next cutoff date.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. He's very good. I've been trying, but not good enough.
Okay. So he'll tell you what else you need
sure.
to do and the
he's
way
a good
it
man.
Needs to be done.
Okay. Very good man. I'm glad.
Just wait. All right. Does the board have any comments?
Mr. Spencer, the pictures you're showing, that's the current condition of the property.
John Stenson, code inspector. My qualification on file. Yes, those are from this morning.
They're closed.
And that, you see that dog right there? I called the animal control. He keeps knocking down the garbage pails. I'm gonna get rid of the dog. He knocks down the garbage pails and I get in trouble.
Any other okay, that's all right. You can sit down now. Any other comments, unless you want to say something else? Okay. Any other comments from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is July 6, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Harrington.
Who made the second? Did Mrs. House? No.
Okay, good. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you and bless all
right.
you all.
Right.
Thank you for... I will comply.
Good.
Thank
Wonderful.
You. He's a good... He's very good. I like him a lot.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's move on to case number 12.
Bless you all.
CEB... 06-16-32, Pauletta Wright. Please come forward, be sworn in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. State your name, please.
Pauletta Wright.
Ma'am, are you going to be testifying?
Yes.
Okay, state your name, please.
Katrina Gordon.
Gordon?
Yes.
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, if you will take a seat, and we'll hear from code enforcement first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that everything that's cited as violations still exists. The property is in noncompliance. He requests that the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Come forward if you'd like to testify. And Ms. Wright?
Okay.
Ms. Gordon.
We got the notice, and we're working on it. We also called him also, and we're making progress. We just need more time to get everything cleaned up. The cars are completely gone. There's nothing left but the gate that needs to be worked on, which I asked him about, the hot water heater, and we have to finish cleaning up the building that the trees fell on in the back. So that's what we're working on right now.
Okay. Mr. Stenson, there it says dilapidated roof. What?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Stenson again. Code inspector, my qualifications are on file. There's a shed in the back that the roof is definitely dilapidated now, but there is some fascia board that needs to be addressed. Some fascia board on the south side of the building. The edge of the roof.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that. So you'll get with Mr. Stenson, and he'll tell you exactly what you need to do to come into compliance, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Any comments from the board or questions? Chair, go ahead.
Is this a residence or a business?
Residence.
It's a residence.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is July 6, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there... Sorry, did you...
If it's a residence, how can it state on the document that it's a business?
That was doing auto repairs in the property.
All right.
As a business or just doing?
Yeah, Ms. Weatherholt.
Not as a business.
No.
Ms. Weatherholt, one of the things they were cited for was non-conforming use. That's what that means, that they're doing something that's not a use, authorized use of the property by using it as a business when it's a residential unit.
Okay, I'll restate the motion. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, July 6, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. So keep in touch with Mr. Stenson and let him know when you're in compliance, or ask him what you need to do to come into compliance. Okay?
All right.
Thank you. All right. Now we are on case number 13, CEB 0616-33, Sean Holmes and Pamela Candil. Anyone here for this case? Do you want to come forward and be sworn in to testify? Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record.
Mary Ames, 730 Ruth Street.
Clarence Robertson, 730 Ruth Street.
We own the house next door.
Okay. If you'll have a seat, we'll hear from code, and then we'll let you testify. Okay. Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property remains in noncompliance. The photos that he's showing are photos that were taken today. This was a complaint-driven violation, so staff was called. And Mr. Stinson says it's kind of been in this condition for quite some time, and he's requesting that you give him till next cutoff to come into compliance.
So, Mr. Stinson, you've actually had contact with these people?
Yes. Good morning again, John Stinson, code inspector. Qualifications are on file. Yes, I have had contact with the occupants of the property.
I see. Okay. So someone actually lives in that house?
A few people, yes.
A few people. Okay. All right. Well, let's hear from the neighbors. And then we'll...
I just need to go ahead and swear you guys in because I didn't do that before you sat down. So if you could raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
What would you like to tell us?
Okay, we've owned the house next door for quite a while.
You own the house?
Next door.
Oh, next door. Okay.
And the guy that owned the house has died. And these people just moved in. There's no windows in the house. There's no sanitation. There's no water, no electricity. And they have... consistently went next door and plugged in extension cords, and the last time they did was 2 days ago and had no ends on it. It was just wiring. They're trying to burn the house down, and it's dangerous. They're living in the shed. They're going to the bathroom in the yards, and it's just unsanitary and bad situation. And I know for a fact that there's prostitution and dope being sold there and taken there. So,
okay. Would you like to testify and say anything, or is it's up to you? Good morning.
Good morning. I guess the issue would be that since Sean is dead and the co-owner has lived not in the state of Florida for at least 4 years, the issue is, to whom do you go? I know that Sean and Pam were mortgaging the house from David Stibbins, who is since also deceased, but his wife is still alive and, as far as I know, lives on John Anderson.
She holds papers.
She really owns the house. He had no income. He simply lived there, and so he hadn't paid any money for years. I don't know why the woman didn't do anything about it. But meanwhile, so it's a crack house, people coming and going. They tore the porch off. I mean, it's not even their house. They're the occupants. They tore the porch off, which was...
When you say they...
I don't know who they are.
Okay.
All right, what I can tell you is that Sean moved homeless people into his house and was trying to rehab them, from drugs, but what happened was that he got pulled into the situation too.
Okay. That's,
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You say they are running an extension cord
to our house.
That's theft. Did you call the police?
The police were Rusty's son lives in the house, but he and his girlfriend drive long distance truck. The problem is they're not there 3 weeks out of four. So the neighbors can do whatever they want as far as the house is concerned. We have it's gated, it's padlocked, but they're breaking the fence and running that wire over to our house. It was reported to the police, but the police came and they threw the extension cord out their window, so nothing could be done. And it's a horror. I mean, it just is.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Jackson, this seems to me like some kind of life safety issue. It seems to me that we may have squatters to deal with.
There are things, based on what was just said, that we'll have to take a look at, Madam Chair, and we'll utilize all of authority we have in the law to address them, and as well as if there's other clarification as to ownership, and make contact with whomever we can make contact with. It would probably be helpful for you guys to authorize us to secure the property, and we'll make sure that we can follow up on that, and whatever we can do in terms of whether it's trespass arrest, if we can find someone with that authority,
yeah.
Or if
yeah.
There are some relatively new statutes related to persons squatting on property. Some of the things that were said, I don't know whether that fits or not. We'll look at the statutes and we'll do everything we have available to us in the law.
Can I clarify for myself? Is it Pam Crandell that is living on Ocean Drive that you say is on there?
No, ma'am. That's Sean's girlfriend who left him 5 years ago.
Okay.
Do you have an alternative address? Or just know
the case? She's in Ohio.
So these people, two people listed here, are the actual owners?
Yeah, Sean Holmes is deceased.
Correct.
And the Pamela Candill is in Ohio. That's, you know.
They are the owners.
And they are the owners.
Well, they were
purchasing
the house from the Stibbins family. Certainly.
They're the names that are listed on our most recent tax roll.
Uh-huh.
And that's our status, right. Until we get additional information.
Right.
That's who we would sign.
Okay.
So John is deceased, so Pamela is deceased.
Yeah.
Right, and we'll look into those various issues.
Yeah, so they have to look into
issues.
All of that and everything else. Okay. All right. Any other comments? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. And further motions the city
to authorize
the city to secure the property. Is there such a motion?
Second.
All right. Motion from Mr. Harrington, second from Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you for coming. All right. Case number 14. Well, they'll look into all. I'm sure Cove will look into all of that. Yeah. All right. Case number 14, CEB 06-16-34, Sarah Flournoy. Respondent present. All right.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. This property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspectors, Cliff Reckonzone. Mr. Reckonzone, is advising that the property is now in compliance, but because of the nature of the violation. Oh, I'm reading the wrong one.
It's still not
quite.
Oh,
never mind.
I'm sorry. Reset.
okay. Correction. Okay. As Mr. Reckinson just advised, that the correct status of this case is that it remains in non-compliance.
Okay.
And so he's asking for a finding of non-compliance and that the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Okay, junk vehicles. All right. Any questions? Comments? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and/or respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, July 6, 2016, and be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So motion.
Mr. Smart, motion, second? Second. Second, Mrs. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, let's move on to case 15, CEB 06-16-35, Bruce Lindergrass. Please come forward. I don't understand why this is under new cases. Wow. All right. Well, are you all going to testify? Okay.
Because it's a new case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime there's a repeat violation
mm-hmm.
or the new.
Okay.
It's not an automatic
fine.
You have to.
You just have to make
decisions. Okay. All right. Would you all like to be state your name and address for the record and be sworn in?
Okay. Let's go ahead and start with the respondent. Is that you, sir?
I own the property.
Okay. Can you state your name, please, for the record?
Bruce Lindengrass.
Okay.
Lindengrass.
Do we have, is there anyone of your all witnesses? Or?
These are neighbors.
I mean, we are residents who reside on my property.
Okay, that's going to be by one at a time.
If you want to testify, just come forward and be sworn in and state your name and address for the record and your relationship to the owner of the building.
Okay. Why don't we have one of you step up to the mic one at a time and state your name, and then I'll swear everybody in at once.
Okay.
Albert Groner, Popka, Florida. I have power of attorney over the property.
Okay. And sorry, what was your last name, sir?
Groneert.
Okay.
Judy Capello. I'm a longtime neighbor of Mr. Lindengrass's rental property.
Timothy Capello, 384 Brookline, concerned neighbor.
Okay.
Randy Griffin, 388 Brookline, one of the tenants.
Candace Heron, 388 Brookline, another tenant.
Would you spell your last name, please?
Herrin.
Okay, please have a seat. We're going to hear from code first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. As you can see on your agenda, there are two different cases on the same property. The first case is parking of trailers and outside storage. That case is a repeat violation. They were previously found in noncompliance, or the owner was previously found in noncompliance for the same violation back on December 17, 2014, which is within a 5-year time period according to statute. Staff is requesting that a fine be imposed for this repeat violation at a fixed cost of $2,000 for one occurrence. The staff is also requesting that this violation is a continuing violation. It's still happening, and it's asking that in addition to the $2,000 fixed fine, that a fine of $100 per day be imposed until the trailer and outside storage is removed.
Mr. Quig, is that those pictures current?
And let me correct that. I said 100, but I believe it should be $150 per day until those are removed.
For which part? The $150 per day?
For the continuing of the trailer and outside storage, the continuing violation. So it's actually a dual.
Okay.
It's a fixed fine for the prior occurrence, the occurrence, and a running fine for the fact that it's still in non-compliance.
For the outside storage.
That's still right. That's to parking of trailers and outside storage.
Okay.
And those pictures are current.
And I'll send to Mr. Klink to address the factual questions.
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. This address at 388 Brookline is not only current, that the tenants are living in this trailer with no water or electricity.
I think we're ready for a motion.
And if also, could I just add on that this property is on the corner of Brookline and Atlantic, and when you go down south of Atlantic, you can see this trailer sticking out on the front lawn. So,
as
they might have some.
And of course, this is the prerogative of the chair, but it sounds like it may be a little more egregious than even I realize, and so you may want to hear from the witnesses before you make your decision as to how you want to find.
So, too. All right. Would you like to come speak? Ms. Capellas will hear from.
I have a brief letter that I've written, and it does not even compute the passion that I feel about this. But it states some of the points that I'm sure I would forget otherwise. These are more current pictures. And to sum it all up, I think we have two people who have nothing to lose. And the people in our neighborhood are suffering because of it. So, yes, I do. Okay. With respect to 388 Brookline Avenue, to Daytona Beach Code Enforcement, and all concerned parties of interest, our names are Timothy and Judy Capello, and we have lived at 384 Brookline, Daytona Beach for almost 30 years. We have raised our family and hope to enjoy our grandchildren in our home. However, events, especially in the past 2 years, have resulted in not only our home, but our entire neighborhood being put at major unease and unable to enjoy the beachside lifestyle we have built for ourselves. As you know, Bruce Lindegrass owns property at 388 Brookline Avenue and has always rented the property out. He has never cared about the property and always rented to people who were going to fix it up. Never anybody else. We're going to fix it up. From the very beginning, he never fixed the old flooded out property and rented to some unscrupulous people that only added to the old decrepit house's problems. Because of his lack of actions over the past 2 years, that home is so far under code with leaky roof, mold, rats, snakes, animal, and possibly human feces, rotten roof, bad electricity, rotten out floors, very unusable windows. All of this is so much more that this unsightly and very unlivable home have made this whole situation unacceptable to continue. We fully believe that this property should be condemned and tore down before he rents it again, and he will. As you know, when we first contacted code enforcement, you were told the renters that are currently here now were family, and you believed you could not act on behalf of the community or the city. As truth has finally been revealed, it is just a testament to the landlord, Mr. Lindegrass has always been. The fact that he only had the outside storage cleaned up one time and only briefly then, he is the owner. He does have renters in there, but it is his responsibility to clean it up. Let's see. The fact that he only had the outside storage cleaned up one time and only briefly then, coupled with the fact that he has an out-of-control junkyard,
junkyard on his property with basically what I would consider squatters in the driveway tells us that he will not handle the situation responsibly without a hefty fine from the city. It needs to cost him something. Right now, it's not costing him a thing. Let's see. These squatters keep at least two big dogs that are allowed to trash the trailer when they're gone.
Excuse me, you're not testifying, sir.
You're not testifying. The smell is horrible.
Can't go outside at night.
The trailer has no tag, electricity, water, and when the squatters are not in the trailer...
Please, 1 second.
Okay.
He has medical conditions.
I'm sorry. We're listening to testimony here. You'll have to be quiet, or I'm going to have to ask you to leave. If you can be quiet, you can sit there. Otherwise, I'll have to ask you to leave. Go ahead.
This trailer has no tag, electricity, or water, and when they're not in the trailer, the dogs are left alone in the hot weather. There's a picture of the dog hanging out the window with these horrible claws, one of the dogs. I hadn't by accident got to get that shot. The dogs have and will continue to jump out the windows and chase other pets, children, and adults who are walking by. We live right across from the beach. Okay. No beware of dog sign has ever been placed on the property. And it's a shock when you walk by and they tear their way through the window and chase you or bark at you. Mr. Lindegrand has no lease on this property and could have handled the situation at any time. He has chosen not to. These squatters do not have a right to trash our community unless Mr. Lindegrand allows it to. He has not acted to correct anything. For sure, he has not acted in good faith or otherwise to correct any problems for the house or the community. Brookline Avenue should no longer be subject to this kind of neglect by Mr. Lindegrass. The rest of us try hard to keep our older homes and this kind of behavior. To upkeep our older homes and this kind of behavior by Mr. Lindegrass is a slap in our face. We all have had to deal with code enforcement from time to time and be fine. Nothing that I have seen has ever hit this mark, and we ask that you put an end to this mess. I have included some pictures that depict the situation currently. Please note that the trailer's pull-out room is within 5 feet of our bedroom window, which makes it impossible, due to the smell and noise, to open our bedroom window. Really opening any of our windows due to the choking smell and numerous flies that are getting worse by the day. This is the worst part for us. Our grandchildren are not allowed to come and visit us due to these unsanitary and dangerous conditions until they're corrected. This makes us very sad, but we firmly agree with our daughter. This is no place for young children. The rest of my letter has a few cases. I think that Mr. Lindegrass thinks that we complain too much, but we do try to complain to him first. He does not listen. These cases I can go over if you want me to, but they are written here if you would like to review them. Some of the times that we have tried to complain and nothing has happened. One of the most disturbing ones was, I believe that they called him Machete Tim or something. Had a machete and a big dog, and he'd just run around macheting everything, was going to fix up the house, and punch his dog whenever he wanted to. This is unacceptable. One of the other times he owned, there were big
tow trucks.
They towed full-size semis, so they were huge. And they parked on the grass, busted up the sewage, would warm their cars up or sit in the car because there were so many people in the house, they ran a business out of it, that they would do their alone time in the front seat while our house is just being inundated with fumes. We have had it. I want to put up a huge sign that says for sale to the highest paying stone lord. But I love my house. Where are you going to go live where you can look out and see the beach? Where you can take your grandchildren across the beach? And we have lived there 30 years and had our fair share of problems, and we'll continue. We know that. We, in no way, shape, or form, understand why the landlord, when I have rented, I've called the landlord and something needs to be done, and he calls me and says, I'm coming on this day, and we're going to fix this problem. This has not happened. So As far as the renters go, that's Mr. Lindengrass's problem. I can only tell you what the problem is over there, and it's totally, totally unacceptable.
Thank you for your
testimony.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you so much. I'm going to let Mr. Lindengrass testify.
Okay. What they said is true, but it's over 10 years. There was a tow truck. Anyhow, the situation today, these pictures are true. Yesterday I received a writ of possession. I've been since December trying to get these people out. I don't know how it works, but they didn't have to move. I was actually in the street when I saw them coming down the street with a trailer. I'm like, whoa, what's going on? We talked to code enforcement. They said it was all right to put this trailer here. I said, well, I believe it's all right as long as it's behind the corner of the house, not 5 feet off her bedroom window. The house itself, they've wrecked the house. They asked if they could take the paneling down, which it's that old pine paneling, you know, like your grandfather's house would have, in the living room. And I'm like, why? Well, so we could put up sheetrock and hang pictures that will hang straight. I'm like, yeah, okay, in the living room.
Mr. Linder, I hate to cut
There's
you off.
There's dog crap in the house.
Well, where do you live, sir?
I live in Ormond Beach.
Really? Thank you. How long have you owned this property?
No.
Well, he doesn't know how long he's owned the property?
I bought the motel.
Oh, that doesn't. I just want to know. 15 years.
15 years.
And
it's
okay. How long have these people been on your property?
2 years.
14 or 14.
No, I didn't ask you, sir. I'm asking him. He's the owner of the property.
A year and a half.
Year and a half.
And I have done some work to it. I put a new roof on. I had it stuccoed. I had electrical work. New box.
When was all that done?
Within a year and a half. We actually had a friendly type relationship in the beginning.
No, that's neither here nor there to me.
Well,
excuse me, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Are we hearing two cases at once now?
No.
I thought we were simply hearing the case that this is a repeat violation.
Okay, we'll rule on the cases separately. We probably won't need to go through all of the other case after all this testimony.
I would just like to suggest
okay.
This is a repeat violation. We've got the evidence that the photographs are new. We've heard testimony from the neighbors.
Yep.
Let's vote.
Okay. Calling a question. Yes. All right.
I wouldn't want it next to me.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Please sit down. Would you like to say something? Is this Mr. Grommet? Grommet? I'll give you a minute to testify, sir. You have power of attorney for whom?
For Mr. Lindengrass.
Why?
Regarding insurance claims.
Insurance claims.
Yes. I handled his properties back in 2004. This is how long I've known this man.
Uh-huh.
I've become friends with him. He is 100% disabled, by the way. Okay? I brought him to court this morning. When I got involved with this, I know he was trying to get rid of the tenants since March. I know he spent over $1,500, including an attorney, to try to get rid of him. I took him to court to get the writs.
Sir?
It never worked. The last court date was yesterday when we finally got the writ of possession. And the police department's supposed to be getting rid of him. Okay? When the adjuster from Citizens went down to inspect the property in April, he couldn't get in because the dogs were screaming. He said, I'm not going back there. He said, get him out and I'll go back. End of story.
All right. Thank you. All right.
We have to hear from them, give them an opportunity.
What? The tenants?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
They hear.
All right.
Hear the neighbors. If they want.
Tenants, come up and testify.
First things first, Your Honor. My name is, yeah. is Randy Griffin. I am one of the tenants that unfortunately has to be there. Every time Mr. Lindegrass said that he tried to fix something, he would do the cheapest way possible so it would fall right back in. His electrical that he has had said done, never got a permit pulled for it. He only got a receipt from an electrician stating that he completely did something that he didn't even actually completely do.
Yeah. Well, wait, one
this, and this is really all that has to do with this. We had to move that camper there because we couldn't live in that house anymore. We tried going to live with family and friends, and it got overwhelming. I am now dying because of this man, okay? And literally dying because of this man. And he will be shortly brought up on attempted murder charges, okay? Because I have
okay,
a mass.
Okay, we're getting outside of our scope of what's
okay,
going
well,
on here.
Okay, well, the facts of the matter is that what you see as far as the trailer, yeah, the trailer's ours. It's all we had to stay in, okay? The black trailer, that's our hauling trailer too. So that's factual. And the red and the silver truck, yeah, that's ours too. But everything else that you see in that yard is his scrap that came out of his house that he asked to be done, ma'am. We've never asked him to tear down the front room walls so where we could take and put up pictures. He told us they were falling down. The floor was falling in. The walls were coming down. The ceilings were popping off. You know, we asked if, you know, he would give us some help even to do it. And he hired people to help. All right? Because I, myself personally, have built way over 30 houses for Habitat for Humanity. I used to be a lead carpenter for Extreme Home Makeover. I do know what I'm doing. But he did not want me to do it because I would not do it his way. So we hired other people. Nobody did it right. The house needs to be bulldozed. The property, I feel, is very, very condemned. You know, I mean, and like I said, my health right now is in severe, you know, hard, bad condition because of it. I've got less than 30 days as of right now because I'm trying to get a mass out of my head that was caused by his house, and we have proved it now.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry for your troubles, but I've heard you.
This document is dated March 26th of 2014, 2 months after we moved in, because that hot water tank that you saw was a power cord, an extension cord, put up to it because he would not have a proper electrical line put in for a hot water tank. This is from an electrician that Randy and I paid for, stating that it is still not...
Now, don't approach me, please. Stay back there.
And it states that there are still things that needed to be done at that time when we paid for it. This whole file is all receipts that we have put money into that house trying to make it livable while we were there. These are the receipts for the last 2.5 years, since January 14th of 2014, when we moved in. Yes, we have 2 large dogs, okay? They do not get out of the premises. They have never been picked up by animal control. They have not had those problems. So if somebody's coming by a window, then they are answering because somebody is coming on the premises, and they are guarding their property. I am sorry if my large dogs scare you, okay, but they have never been out. They have never been in the control of animal control or the humane site. They have not been loose.
Okay.
I have receipts. I have documentation for everything I can speak on. This is the proof from the doctor. He has 2 large middle cerebral artery fusiform brain aneurysms that are on a Y. Okay? His age group makes him at risk of rupturing at any point, and when they rupture, he falls over dead. And they are done.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your troubles. We all are sorry for your troubles. Thank you for testifying. Does anybody have any questions? Okay.
Did I hear him say he moved the trailer from the trailer park?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
We have
to come to the mic.
We were down to our last pennies, and a friend of ours knew of a trailer for a couple hundred dollars. So we went and purchased the trailer to be able to stay in, you know, till we could get either the house back into good or find some place to live. Because we had asked, due to the fact of how the house was, you know.
So you don't live in the house?
No, we don't live in the house right now. We live in the trailer out in the drive. And Mr. Lindengrass has had the water and the power completely shut off to the place completely, so we can't even touch it. That's another thing that I want to know about.
Okay, that's. I think we've heard enough testimony. Is everybody on the board satisfied? We've heard enough testimony for this case. What we are ruling on is CEB 06-16-35. And it is a in front of us for imposing a fine, so I'd like to make a motion to impose a fine, a fixed fine of $2,000 for this occurrence. And in addition to that motion, add a motion to fine them $150 per day for the outside storage violation until compliance is reached. Is there such a motion?
That's a repeat filing. We have to get them moving. As a repeat violator.
As a repeat violator. Out both repeat violations. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Is there such a thing as a maximum?
No, you think you can go $1,000 a day?
No,
$5,000. $5,000
for a current.
Repeat, yeah. So it could be $5,000.
So the recommendation for the staff is $100 a day?
$2,050.
All right, a fixed fine of $2,000 for, and then $150 per day until compliance is achieved.
Right, as to this case.
Starting today. That's for the repeat violation case. All right. Who made the motion? All right. Mr. Himes made the motion. Second, Mr. Harrington, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Now we will.
I apologize. I was getting a copy.
Okay. Okay.
So we have a $2,000
fixed fine.
And $150 per day beginning today.
Beginning today.
Until
compliance is achieved. Or $15,000. Now, we're going to move on to case number CEB 06-16-36. I think that we have heard all the testimony we need to hear in this case about the property being, whether the property is in compliance or non-compliance. What would you like to say, Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, I concur that the testimony has been given and acknowledged even by the owner that it's in non-compliance. And so the staff is requesting that the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay.
Has there ever been a residential rental license applied for?
Well, they're cited for failure to obtain, Mr. Klieg is the inspector, so I'll have to answer that.
Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. 388 Brookline, no rental occupational license was ever issued.
Okay.
Just a two-part motion.
Yes. Yeah. The chair will entertain a motion to find a respondent in non-compliance in order to respond to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, July 6, 2016, will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day and also a one-time fine of $250 for no rental license.
No BTR.
Okay.
The rental license goes with
right.
The fine.
Okay. No BTR.
So moved. Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. I'm not going to hear any more testimony. You may get with Mr. Klieg and talk to him to find out what you need to do to bring this house into compliance. You will be back here next month. and I'll see you then. That they can tell you what you need to do now and where you need to pay the fine, sir. You can talk to Ms. Hampton.
Are these gentlemen here? Are any cases that's in the box?
Is anyone? No, sir. I cannot answer. You must talk to Mr. Klieg.
No.
No, he wouldn't do that.
Thank you.
Uh huh. Are you people here? Anybody? In the, did you want something? Can we do anything for you out there?
Neighbor.
Okay.
I'm a neighbor.
Okay. Okay. All right. We're finished with the case. It's taken care of. All right. Anybody else?
I'm sure he's a neighbor too.
Sir, are you a neighbor with the red hat?
No.
Or just a visitor? Thank you very much. All right. Is there any miscellaneous business today? That's a miscellaneous business for us?
To me. I think that's because I'm announcing what you already announced, but we just have to post, and I don't even know.
What are we announcing?
That there is a workshop?
Yes.
On, what's the date? Okay.
What time?
1:30, okay. And at one of the rooms up on the second floor?
It's going to be at the police department.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to confirm tomorrow that we can, with our audio AC guy, that we can for sure do it in the comstat room because we have to be able to record it.
Right.
So it's either going to be the comstat room or the large.
Okay, that's fine. No problem. Okay.
But one
and
of the second floor rooms.
Who's going to be, you're going to be in charge of that, yes? And who else is going to be speaking?
Well, yeah.
Okay, Seth. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be speaking. Charlie will be speaking. Yeah, our desires to, and anticipation is that we'll have redevelopment and permits as well. No confirmations, but that's our anticipation.
Okay.
Could you possibly send us an agenda ahead of time? So
you'll get it ahead of time.
Yeah, I would like to have the community invited to come listen.
Well, it's a public meeting. So
yeah, but I want to get info out to them so they know when it is. So whenever you have something, if you would send it to me, that's fine. No problem. All right, not push it, yeah, just ask him.
Also, if there's anything specifically you want us to address, let Amy know and we'll address it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it 1:30?
1:30.
Which date?
Wednesday the 29th. I have a...
Do you have 200 days? Wednesday the 29th. That sounds right.
29th, Wednesday afternoon. It's a Wednesday afternoon.
Okay. All right. Any other business?
Yes, it's been a challenging month in terms of keeping up with things.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we can talk about that, but I mean, they didn't get anything, evidently, or it would have been done. If you get a writ of possession from the sheriff goes and takes over the property
the
and kicks them out.
Yeah.
So that's, you know.
Yeah,
that's
talk about
that's what, yeah, okay, never mind. It's over, but that's what that was, the written possession. I know how. All right.
Okay.
All right, that was interesting. Meeting adjourned.